The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Know How, Know Who, with me, Sally Scott. Today we're getting to know a fellow Nelson local, and getting to know the tools they've used to get through the challenges they've faced. So we all know how to get through whatever life throws our way. So let's get in the know. So, good morning. Today we're here getting to know a Nelson local, Bryce Wastny, and hearing his know-how he's to get through a challenge he faced. Today we're going to be talking a bit about depression, relationship breakup, burnout, but also an amazing 100-kilometre bike race. So, before we start the program, it contains content that may be disturbing or sensitive in nature. Listening discretion is advised. If you or someone you know is struggling with the issues raised in this program, for urgent support, call 111. Or please consider reaching out to the following support agencies in New Zealand for assistance. Lifeline 0800 543 354. Samaritans 0800 72 66 66. Or your local GP. So let's get to know you a little better, Bryce. Tell me a little bit more about what's been going on for you before this amazing race and what was going on in your life.
Cool. Thanks, Sally, for having me on the show, and thanks to everyone for tuning in and listening. I guess we go back to the COVID situation, you know, pretty challenging time for everybody. And, you know, I noticed, you know, a lot of people know me as a performing musician, a singer-songwriter. Of course, all of a sudden, my gigs are all cancelled and a big chunk of my income had disappeared, like a lot of people experienced as well. So, yeah, it was a challenging time. I was working on building a new recording studio. And
that's where we're sitting today, in Bryce's studio.
Yeah, yes, that's right, yeah. So Hummingbird Recording Studios, I've named it. And, the COVID situation presented a lot of challenges, but also a lot of opportunities when I look back now and, reinvesting back into, you know, making better music, making more music and helping more local musicians as well. So,
yeah,
I was struggling in that space. And, for a long time I've struggled, you know, sort of from my late teens to 30s, you know, struggled with depression. And I never really knew what it was or what it was called. I just thought that you woke up every day and then you feel like absolute crap in the morning, and you're like, it's like you've got this cloud over your eyes and your head and everything's just flat and dark, and you have to like almost kickstart yourself into life and do, you know, adventurous risk-taking sports and things like that there to feel alive. And that's what I did. Downhill racing and windsurfing and big storms and all that sort of thing. And that was how I sort of coped with that. Fast forward down the track, a couple of situations where I burnt out and ran out of energy and sort of hit the wall and had to get some help, and discovered some really powerful medication after, you know, trying many different types. Different GPs as well. We had different perspectives and different methods, and I found one that worked really well for me. I said to my GP after 3 weeks after trialing this, tapering onto this medication, you know, is this what people normally feel like? You know, she goes, yes, that's how a normal, you know, middle-aged young Kiwi male should feel like. You should be waking up and can't wait to get into your day and have your goals and all that kind of thing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I've had this chemical imbalance for so long, and I had no idea about how or what to do with it. I just thought that was normal because, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
No, and because you were feeling like that, you didn't know how to feel any different.
Yeah. I was, training as a boat builder. So we were using very toxic chemicals and fumes, and the health and safety was nothing like it is today. It was, you know, put a couple of paper masks on and
away you go.
Have a coffee and, you know, spray paint a 60-foot boat and, you know, wondering why the paint cans have got skull and crossbones all over them. And they're actually, you know, corroding in the in their own container. So, you know, it's not, you know, nice organic sort of stuff that you're using. It's very toxic stuff. And, you know, you sort of go finish your day and you're almost a little bit high, and you have a splitting headache, and you just think that's how life normally is. And after the COVID situation and all that, you know, investing back into my health has been a massive thing and the best thing ever, like total game changer for me. You know, signing up with the gym and getting a crew of guys that I go to the gym with and you're accountable to, and you know, where were you on Thursday morning? Come on, you know. You know, sleeping in. You know, you actually need to have those people on, around you to sort of, I found for me, it helps me show up. I hate letting people down. That's one thing that I've learned for me. Some people are okay with that, and that's fine too. But you find your own little levers that help, you know, keep you on track.
Yeah. So, I mean, you were heading through a bad space with your depression, got a good GP, got some good medication, and then started focusing on your health. And so was that Waka 100 part of that focusing on your health, or how did you get into that bike race?
Yeah, well, I've always, you know, like I said, when I was, you know, early 20s, left school, went boat building, and, you know, was a fully qualified boat builder at 22 years old. A bunch of us would go mountain biking after work and we'd sweat all the toxins out and had just the best time, and did a lot of racing, a lot of travelling around, you know, doing the nationals and, you know, racing at a fairly high standard, at a high level. And looking back on, like, I want to tap into that again, because they were the best times of my life. I was fit and energetic and feeling good, and you get those good endorphins
coming through.
And that hurt the first couple of times going out there, and I fell off and I winded myself and I sat in the trail and I couldn't even breathe, and I was thinking, I just brought this $5,000 mountain bike and, this is the most horrible feeling right now. And it just got easier and easier, and I got a little trail dog, and, you know, I could go out biking with the little dog and the rescue dog, and it was, once you got into a routine of it, you know, all of a sudden, you know, like the alarm goes off 6 a.m. or your friend gives you a call, hey, we're going out French Hill, you know, it's Tuesday morning, it's 5:30, meet you outside your house.
Yeah.
And you're going up there and you're watching the sunrise and you start the day on that level. It's just like launching off a ramp, you know, it's incredible, as opposed to my previous experience climbing out under the covers with a semi-migraine and, you know, with all these spray painting nasties
stuck in your system,
body's trying to get rid of, and you know, coffee, you know. in that space. So, yeah, put some really healthy routines back in, repainted my house and just got it looking really nice, and just slowly, you know, made myself a really cool bed out of plywood and, you know, built the studio and upgraded it, and just, found some other little, you know, project ideas, you know, renovating furniture and things that actually bring me joy. And, you know, that, and along with the medication and time, I just felt like a whole new person, like Bryce 4.0.
New upgrade.
Yeah, the new operating system.
I mean, so you've got a whole kitty of strategies you used, and I mean, letting your creative juices go into a wide range of things around your home, but also in all the activities that you found to do.
Yeah, sounds, and picking like up the sort of boat building tools again as well, which I've really enjoyed, like repairing mountain bikes that have got damage and chips and things, and I just know how to fix all that sort of stuff. I've done way harder things with, you know, boats, adding bits on boats and cutting them in half and adding a middle section and things like that. It's like meditation for me, so I love having that time, you know, on screen. I do my work and my creative, you know, paying the mortgage type jobs, you know, which I do enjoy, but also enjoy shutting the screen down and putting my old, you know, shorts and overalls on and getting into the garage, put some tunes on, and then make some dust and repair someone's canoe paddle or, you know, renovate their kayak, make it look like new again, and things like that. So you do discover some really cool things about yourself. I think they were just lying dormant in that time. Is that actually, why can't I just sit back into that? I can do it in my own space, in my own time.
Yeah. So it sounds like you quite like a challenge. I mean, if you're talking about cutting up boats and adding bits, and so is the bike race part of taking on a challenge that you're wondering whether you could get through it or not?
Yeah, well, one of the things was I had an interesting job. A guy contacted me. He was in a nasty motorbike accident and almost had to remove his arm, and he begged him to keep it. They ended up fusing his shoulder together, and I worked with him and we built a carbon fiber arm brace. So basically, it's hard to describe this thing on, you know, without showing you a photo of it. But this arm brace that had levers and springs on it, so he can now ride his mountain bike with a super lightweight, really cool looking bit of apparatus that I built in my workshop. And, you know, little things like that, you get touched by people that you meet on your journey. And I thought, wow, you know, he does that. And he goes out and digs trails and, you know, volunteers for things. And, you know, he's got pain all the time and he's always having to, there's always another surgery. There's always something else that has to happen. And his arm was so skinny, it was, you know, almost just like a little thread hanging down. And it was the fact that we gave it a little bit of structure. So he had but like an elbow again. And yeah, it was an incredible, so it was inspiring for me. And I thought, yeah, this year I want to do two mountain bike events. The first one was in March, the Karapoti Classic, which is an event I raced back in my early 20s. In my youth. And I bought a mountain bike. Following week, went over there and my friends taught into Wellington with my friends, and they taught me into doing the big one, the 50k one, which is notoriously steep and it's usually always raining. And the start, you've got to hold your bike above your head and run through a river that's about chest deep.
Oh, wow.
And it's not a warm river. And there's one of the biggest events in the longest running events in the country. It started in the early 90s when mountain bikes first started coming into New Zealand. Someone bought a few bikes over and said, oh, hey, ride one of these and let's ride up this hill. And the next minute, every year, it kind of grew and grew and grew as mountain biking is a fairly new sport in New Zealand. So I did that in March, and by the time I recovered from that and decided, actually, that wasn't that bad, even though if you asked me in an interview going up the hill in the middle of it, there's a hill called the Devil's Staircase, and it is like, oh, you just one foot after the other, pouring rain, mud everywhere, and sometimes just you got to stop and get the mud out of your eyes to keep so you can even see. I decided, hey, let's do another one. So let's do one twice as long. So
that sounds sensible.
I know. I need to sit down and have a little chat to myself, thinking, I paid the money, because that's the strategy I know. You know, you tell someone that you're going to do it, and then you pay the money. I'm committed, and then I'm not going to wiggle out of it and go, oh, something else. I'm a bit tired. It's been a long winter, and you know. And then next winter, I brought by myself a really good mountain biking jacket, so that removed the excuse. If I've got to train 3 days a week and go up Fringe Hill, I've got no excuses now. So I go up there in the pouring rain sometimes and be toasty and warm and fine, like. Covered in mud, head to toe. People look at you as they're driving the car, and you come in the gate, and you're just like, they're like, "What is that guy? Yeah. What is his problem?" But you know, look, you invest in things to remove those little barriers to make you, you know, wow, I can actually do this. Mm. You know, we're not like you know, the technology, the Gore-Tex jacket. You know, like you can get a really good one for $200 or $300. That's going to be the difference between me staying at home and not riding or doing the work.
So the know-how of actually financially committing to something means that you're buying into it, and now you're going to do it. You're cozy in your jacket. You've got the right bike.
I don't want to. That's right. I don't want to waste it. I got my bike all tweaked up, and you know, bought a really nice second-hand bike, and I've just love it. I've just recently given it a really nice spray job, and. Oh, it just looks beautiful. I haven't actually ridden it since the race that I did about a month ago, because I don't want to get the bike dirty, because it looks so good. It's like a mirror.
So that's not the know-how.
But that's kind of like the opposite. But part of, you know, after doing this event, you know, I thought, what else can I do to improve, invest in my life, you know? And so, you know, other than maintaining the gym and healthy diet, I've stopped drinking alcohol over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months. I just feel so much better for it. Clearer mind, more energy, I sleep better. You know, for me, I was discovering that it'd be easy to just finish a bottle on my own quite easily and quite happily work in my recording studio and do little jobs. And but you know, you actually, it steals more than it adds. You know, you might get two or 3 hours of feeling, oh, this is awesome, you know, and then you've got like 4 or 5 hours till you start to come out of. It's like putting myself back in that early post-medication phase.
Yeah. Medicating yourself with alcohol instead of with GP prescribed stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And you should never mix alcohol with any GP prescribed stuff anyway.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just like you, it's a thin wedge that gets in there. And a lot of us creatives, you know, we love to have a wine or a cold beer and a in the studio and chip away on music. It's relaxing and all that. There's some really good things, but you know, you got to be real mindful. And actually, it can steal more than it adds.
Yeah.
And I sort of think to myself, if it was a bike race that I was doing and training for, and then I said, "Oh, I'm just going to let a whole lot of air out of my back tire, so it's really soft and flubbery and dragging along the ground."
Yeah.
Why would I live? Why would I go and do an event like that when I've worked so hard? So, and to have this thing dragging me along and holding me back. So why am I, fast forward after the race, I'm in the space where I've achieved some really big, cool goals. I thought, oh, yeah, well, I can actually choose whatever I want to do. I'm in control. I don't have anyone to answer for or to impress or whatever. I can pick a goal, write it down. I know the strategy every week, you know, small, break it into small parts. I can do anything, so why would I want to take on something that's actually proving to be holding me back?
Yeah, so focusing more on things that are going to get you to your goal rather than just give you pleasure in the moment.
Yeah, like what's going to serve me, you know, that buzz of achieving a goal after a long journey of, you know, I mean, I don't enjoy going up the hill in the rain and the mud. I did see the girl that won the event, you know, the woman's of this particular event, she's from Nelson.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd see her up the hills quite often and she'd be coming down, I'd be going up, and you just have this big grin on your face like, we're doing the work.
Yeah.
No one else is out there, of course, because, you know, why would you? But, you know, when you have that big goal in mind, it's an amazing buzz that you get, and you can't help but it filters down through your life. One of the things I'm excited about at the moment is I'm working on my fourth studio album.
Yeah.
And that often I'm working with a producer that's based in Romania. He's a Scottish singer-songwriter and, fantastic musician, impressive CV, awesome. We just get on, like, so well and on the same page with our mindset, our work ethic, our attitude to our art, attention to detail, all these sort of things. And, you know, he's in Romania, so they're basically the opposite end of the globe. Like, you couldn't get more
further apart.
And it's easy to book our times because I just, like, take the AM off and switch it for PM.
Yeah.
So I was here in the studio last night at 2 AM finishing up a vocal, you know, doing 18 takes on a, you know, singing a song 18 times and tweaking and talking about bits and changing and tweaking and getting it right.
Yeah.
While he was remotely accessing my computer and recording the song. So, you know, you have to be on your game to do that. So you can't be.
Yeah, you can't be having half a bottle of wine and then working at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, no. I know. It's terrible. Not without having 2 days off to recover.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like you've got a whole group of strategies that have helped you get through that 100K race, but also just that it's spread out into your life. I mean, you know, starting off with, you know, looking at mental health, but thinking, how can I change that? But then looking at how your physical health has changed. I mean, getting in with a good group of guys, going to the gym, you know, giving up alcohol. I mean, working on things that give you joy, like letting your creative juices flow. It's like your know-how is sort of like a holistic know-how. You know,
one feeds into the other.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just working on your mental health or just working on getting fit to ride 100Ks through the mud, which doesn't sound like fun at all to me.
But I'll invite you along sometime.
Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe I'll just talk about it rather than doing it. But, you know, I can't imagine, you know, how was it riding 100Ks through the bush?
Oh, I mean, there were times.
It was, through the forest there. Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible that the scenery was breathtaking, literally breathtaking and metaphorically breathtaking. Sometimes you'd it's single track, so it's narrow, you know, like a walking track, and you've got 3,000 riders, and you're all on this course, and there's three or four different races going on at the same time, different lengths.
Mm.
So you're constantly, left turn here, you know, and follow. You know, I'm following the red tags, and some people are following the blue, and sometimes you've got your head down, and you can't even remember the last kilometre because you've just got to keep plodding, and choosing the gear that you're in, navigating the steep little tree routes that you're climbing up. You're just constantly climbing. So there's not many trails in the world even that have 92 kilometres of single track, and you're not riding the same trail twice. Wow. So you come around a corner, and next minute you look out and you see right over Rotorua, you see the lake, you say, oh, I know where I am. Okay, cool. And you go around, you go through about a million other turns, and the next minute there's a water dam up there, and you can't see the city, and you don't know which way's north, south, or east or west.
Mm.
All you know is that follow the red mark.
The tags, yeah.
Yeah, I ran out of food at about 70 kilometres on the trail, and food and water. I thought I had everything well planned. Nailed the first half, but I discovered that once you've done 70 Ks, you need to eat every 20 minutes, not on the hour. And I literally went to a grinding halt, and it was just a shuffle, one foot after the other, going up the hill, and, you know, looking for berries, looking for, you know, I remember one time I was so exhausted, and it was survival, you know, like you can't just turn around and exit right and show up at the finish line.
You've got to keep going to the end.
I'm 30K away from the finish line, and I've got to go, I don't even know how to get to the finish line, and there's no one around me, a lot of people ahead, and a lot of people behind that are, you know, given up or still plugging in. And, you know, picking up the empty wrappers on the trail and looking the inside of the wrappers.
So desperate times.
Yeah, desperate times, yeah. And the things that you think, you know, like, oh, if I strain that muddy water through my sock, maybe I can get some water out of that. And you're like, your head and go, no, come on. You start singing songs in your head. You start counting steps. You start thinking about what you're going to do after the race, or, you know.
Anything to keep your mind focused so you can just keep going.
What am I going to eat when I get back to my friend's house where I was staying at? You know, I'm going to have a burger. I had a burger and, you know, apple crumble or something. I don't know. You're just thinking anything just to distract you. Or if someone's nearby, you say, yakking away, oh, how's it going? Oh, what sort of bike have you got?
Mm.
Anything, you're just distracting that pain because your body hurts. And, so it's an amazing experience. So, yeah, it was a very, very tough day, as tough as it gets. I've never been that far. I've never ridden 100K in my life in one day.
Yeah.
And I came in about 10 hours.
So 10 hours of slogging through the forest.
It's a long day. It's a long day at the office. And as I was coming down through the end, you can hear the event, you know, the epicenter. You know, there's music pumping. There's someone on the PA system. People, kids and, you know, people drinking in the little bars, and you know, you could have, you know, chicken korma or whatever. There was food carts everywhere, but you could hear it through the trees, and I was just like almost like delirious at that stage. And the sun was, you know, going down. It was about probably 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
the sun was quite low, and just the light going through those trees, the redwoods, and these beautiful trails, just almost like you could almost roll a marble down them, you know. Some of them were just so smooth and, you know, just groomed. It was just like riding on carpet, and you just let go of the brakes and the bike just
followed the trail.
You're so tired, you just, this muscle memory, and you just, your bike suspension's doing its thing, you know, your brakes are doing its thing, everything's just working. It's just amazing. But yeah, I do remember, I've got some really cool photos from photographers that were on the trail, and you look back and you go, oh, I don't look that tired. Actually.
But if your know-how was licking wrappers on the ground to get some energy, you were tired.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah. No, it's almost a spiritual experience when you get to that point where you transcend, you know, that pain to, you've just got to do whatever it takes to get to the end. And that's why people do these long events, because you look back, and I'll get a lift out of that event for a whole year, like reflecting on that and the photographs and some of the memories and the stories and, you know, the bonding with your bike, you know, the fact that, you know, constantly adjusting it, getting it just right for me and changing parts on it, upgrading bits, you know, really learning about, you know, how does it descend, like what's it capable of, you know.
And what are you capable of, that you are capable of 100 Ks on the dirt?
Yeah, what else can I do?
On a bicycle, yeah. If you can do that by licking wrappers, what else? You know, what does the world hold? You know, just about anything then.
That's right, yeah. I'm actually going to be buying a sea kayak this summer.
Yeah.
I've decided to buy myself a sea kayak and I want to paddle from Nelson across to the Edward Tasman.
Yeah.
And just camp out on the beach and circumnavigate the Edward Tasman. Give myself 6 or 7 days and just paddle a bit.
That should be a breeze if it's not on a bicycle.
Hopefully there's not a breeze out there because I want it nice and flat because I know how choppy it gets out there. But I'm just thinking, I'll do that. And it's not a race. It's just something that I can do. And who knows, I might, you know, come up with some new lyrics or music ideas or philosophies or something. I don't know. It's a really cool. We've got this right in our backyard and it's so easy to forget it's there.
Yeah, we're so lucky. And, I mean, I think just listening to your stories today about – you know, your travels with your career, your work, what you do for fun. I mean, I'm just struck that your know-how is all about, you know, having a total overview of your life. I mean, looking at your health, your mental health, your creativity, and then setting yourself goals and getting a good team of mates around you to support you on the way, going to the gym with the bike riding, whatever. It's quite amazing. If you can do 100 Ks on a bicycle through the mud, running out of food and water nearly halfway through, well, then, you know, you could do just about anything, I think.
Yeah.
And what an amazing reminder to keep in the back of your head that if I've done that, well, then, you know, why can't I kayak around the Abel Tasman, or why can't I do whatever else you set your mind to? I mean, that's an awesome reminder to have.
And, you know, also, you know, to add to that, that's exactly right. The importance of fueling yourself. Like, if you don't have the food to fuel yourself, like you're gonna hit the wall at some point, you're gonna run out of steam, and you know, I've had enough, you know, episodes of burning out where I've literally found the end of myself or the end of my strength, and I'm just literally like feeling like a very vulnerable baby, you know. Like I need to be looked after and I need to slowly come back up, and I've had a really supportive family and friends that have, you know, understood and got around me, which is hugely you know, lucky to have that. But, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, you've got to be fueling yourself. So, you know, if you want to get into motorbiking, go and buy a motorbike. Or if you want to learn guitar, go and get it. Just buy it, invest in it, because it'll give back a lot more than
what the cost
money is. If you get into that point where you're starting to worry about every penny and you're not fueling yourself, that's the first little red flag right there. And I've looked back in times where I've ignored that and I've gone, I'll just push on through and have another coffee and I'll play another gig and I'll do that gig. I don't really want to do that, but I do it because I need the cash. And so, you know, my focus is all about the money. And then I start to, like, I mean, if you skimped on the fuel you put in your car, you wouldn't go very far, would you?
No, that's so true.
You know, it's, don't underestimate the power of investing in yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So thank you, Bryce, for sharing your story today and for letting us use your amazing studio in Nile Street. And just a reminder that if you're anyone that you know is struggling with the issues raised in this program, please call 111 for urgent support, or please consider reaching out to the following support agencies. Lifeline is 0800 543 354. Samaritans 0800 726666, or your local GP. And so let's end Know Who with a song choice from you, Bryce. What song would you like to hear? I'd love to hear one of yours. So, and tell us a bit about the song and why you've chosen it.
Cool. The song I've chosen is a song of my True North album. It was the third album that I recorded.
Yeah.
And the song was used, it's called Morning Light, and it was used on the Sunrise Walk for Wellbeing as a feature song for their event. And I ended up becoming involved with those guys that were organising that for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And it's sort of about, you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. It doesn't, you have to find that light. And it's, if you listen to the lyrics, it talks about, you know, my struggles with depression in a artistic kind of way, subtle sort of way. And if you sort of, you've listened to this interview and then you listen to the song and really focus in on the lyrics, you'll understand sort of completely about where I'll, you know, the picture I'm trying to paint with a song. And yeah, it's like you were going into a bad dream. You wake up, you literally don't want to face the day. You just can't wait till it gets dark again, because the day, there's too much. It's just, you just feel sad and you feel low and empty. So Morning Light is a song about hope, and it's about, you know, don't give up. There's plenty of resources, people out there that you can reach out to, and don't ever shut it away and try and hustle it on your own, because you just don't need to do that.
Yeah, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So thank you for so much for listening to Know How, Know Who this morning, and let's have a listen. Listening to Know How, Know Who with me, Sally Scott. We'll get to know another Nelson local on the next edition of Know How, Know Who. You can also find more episodes by searching under the Programs tab on our website freshfm.net or on accessmedia.nz. Thanks for getting in the know with me.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.